The Last Days, Commentary for the September 7th, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress, unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world, until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. Mark 13:18-20. This chapter in Mark is parallel to Matthew 24. It can be confusing, for it seems to be referring to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE by the Romans. However, the superlatives attributed to Jesus bring that into question. Jesus said the destruction he was foretelling was unique, unequaled before or after. It would be hard to assert that the death or enslavement of a few hundred thousand Jews in 70 CE was a larger event than the murder of over 6 million Jews by Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. And even that event failed to usher in the apocalypse that many expected to result. It may be that instead of referring to a single event, Jesus was speaking of a situation that would exist on the earth from the time of his ascension until his return. If we consider the horsemen of Revelation chapter 6, popularly known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, though the Bible never refers to them by that title, they represent conquest, warfare, famine, and death. Historically, these four have been riding through the earth for eons. Seldom has there been a time when they have not been rampaging somewhere on the planet. Even now, the war between Russia and Ukraine, Israel and the Palestinians, are only two conflagrations that stand out among others, where we also see the results of the work of each of the four. Their purpose is not to justify what they are doing. They simply exist and cannot be entirely thwarted, no matter what we do to achieve peace and tranquility on this side of Eden. Of course, these horsemen are only metaphors, else we could restrain them somehow and find the peace that eludes humanity. The sad truth is they represent what lies in our hearts. The Germans have a word for this, Schadenfreude. It means to take delight in the misfortunes of our enemies. For instance, if someone cuts us off in traffic and we take delight in seeing them pulled over by the police further down the road. Instead of loving our enemies, as Jesus taught, we take delight in seeing them get what we feel they deserve. But there is a fine line between such a spirit and the spirit of vengeance. That spirit keeps a tally of wrongs and seeks to even the balance by inflicting equal or greater damage in return. This can go on for so many generations of tit for tat that no one even remembers who perpetrated the first slight. The result of such behavior can be anxiety over whether, when one leaves their home, they will live to see it again. We can see that anxiety play out when people feel the need to arm themselves out of fear for their lives or the lives of their loved ones. Some have called such fear irrational. Although it was the case in the past, we no longer have creditors battering down our doors and selling us and our family into slavery to pay for debts we have defaulted on. In this and many other ways, we are more secure than our ancestors. Yet many of us are armed to the teeth because of anxiety and fear. That fear produces a rationale that we had better get the other person before they get us. But in the absence of the ability to see into the hearts of others, to discern their intent, we end up fearing everyone as a malicious actor, sealing ourselves off from meaningful, positive social interactions for fear of what might result, even when there is no basis for such fear. This has also been the cause of the explosion of road rage incidents in this generation. Too many are operating under the assumption that other drivers have an evil intent, though they may have simply made a mistake and done something stupid. When we decide to respond by making our displeasure and condemnation of the other driver clear, escalation follows. And as has happened where I live, and doubtless many other places as well, one of the drivers never makes it home to their family, bleeding out in a city street because a cycle of rage was allowed to run rampant. The point I am making here is that the evil Jesus spoke of has been with us continually because of the hardness of our hearts, and is not necessarily about 70 CE or an event relegated to a distant future. The apocalypse is ongoing and has been sweeping millions beyond the gates of death and therefore beyond further hope for something better. But we do not have to live in that reality. The apocalypse and the kingdom of God exist side by side in our world. We are a divided world. While it is easy to allow tempers to flare and get caught up in the cycle of vengeance, there are those who have chosen to be citizens of God's kingdom. They have surrendered their pride and their tendency to be easily offended for a better end. God has promised that everyone who comes to him can have a new heart in Ezekiel 36:26. Our fears have caused us to turn our hearts to stone, lest we be taken advantage of or even murdered. So we build a barrier between us and the rest of the world to protect what little we have. We do not realize we will have to walk away from all of it sooner than we think. Then we will understand that what we thought was important was not, but it will be too late to seek that heart change that allows us to see the world with a proper perspective, a perspective that reveals that it is people and not things that matter. Once an active, loving relationship with God blossoms, we discover that the four horsemen were not ethereal phantoms haunting the earth. The four are us without that regenerative connection with God. We see ourselves as rulers of the world, fighting those who challenge us. Our actions bring famine to others while we eat ourselves into obesity. Those who resist our greed and selfishness then meet our other side, the side that brings death with his pale horse. The cycle repeats millions, billions of times over the face of the earth, bringing darkness where there should be light. But at the same time, there are those who have discovered a relationship that changes them for the better, and love for others is breathed into their hearts as a Lebenswort, life word, to regenerate their hearts. In one sense, we become a new creation because we have not lived with such love in our lives before. But in another sense, it is only a recreation of what humanity was created to be before things went awry. The world has come to oppose such a restoration. We can look around us at the evil perpetrated and constantly presented to us by the news and respond with how the world would have us respond, with anxiety and fear. But love can sweep away that fear if we let it, according to 1 John 4:18. We were never meant to live like this. We were created in God's image, according to Genesis 1 verse 26, and that image is love, according to 1 John 4 verse 8. A heart filled with fear and anxiety is never free. It wanders from one fear to the next, always chained to those fears. But Jesus would grant us the keys to be free of those chains, according to John 8:36. We live in madness, in a world gone crazy with fear. But like the demon-possessed man whom Jesus delivered from the myriad demons that ruled his life, we can be free of our fears also. As he did, we can sit at the feet of Jesus in our right minds, breathing in the atmosphere of love and compassion that over time changes us to be all that we were intended to be by our Creator. Some think that by extracting a set of rules from the Bible, this will save them from a world gone mad. That is like trying to save a marriage by crafting a list of rules both parties must obey. But happiness in marriage is not obtained that way. Happiness derives from the love that exists between two people. This is why Jesus referred to his followers as a bride and himself as a bridegroom. He wants that kind of happiness in the relationship between us. In Luke's Gospel and Acts, he refers 17 times to the joy that arises from our relationship with Jesus. Love is the power that drives that joy. As the folk hymn says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We can have that love and joy by exchanging our fear and anxiety for them through Jesus. When I learned to swim, I had to overcome my fears of what might happen if I went into the water deeper than I could safely stand in. Once I overcame that fear, I could enjoy swimming and have done so many times since. But I could never have had that experience if I succumbed to my fear of drowning and avoided the water. In fact, learning to swim is what enabled me to overcome that fear. Our relationship with God is like that. We cannot know the freedom from fear until we step into that water and discover we can swim. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other commentaries, podcasts, articles by the author, and books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.